Okay, so here we go. So in the Maran Padua, right? So we're somewhere in the early 16th century. Maran Padua is Rav Meir Katzenelendogen, I think, and he's important in the history of copyright because his edition of the Mishneh Torah was was pirated. And that caused one of the great efforts to institute genuine copyright protection in halacha, which failed miserably. And so it really has enormous influence on the history of halacha. Thereafter, the attempt to impose a ban on acquiring sets of the cheaper edition of Mishneh Torah, and which led to a government backlash against those people who attempted to impose the ban. And so we did this 2 summers ago, and we did antitrust law. It's really interesting. Historically, there's now a book by... Pardon?
It's the Shoot Ramah.
Yes. Olive. And there's a book by David Nimmer and I forget, Professor Netanyahu, and I just out just on the history of copyright in Jewish law, which goes through this. Okay. So the Shaila is, Imutur Lagarish Al-Karcha Hecha De'Avra Al-Dat. So is it permitted to divorce a woman against her will when she is overet al-dat? So right, there's a Mishnah in Ketubot that talks about two kinds of dat, overet al-dat Moshe, overet al-dat Moshe v'hudit. I guess I can throw in a brief propaganda tangent. So what is dat Moshe and what's dat Yehudit?
Okay, so it should be that Moshe is daraita, and should be that Yehudit,
okay, right. That's one understanding, right? Why do we think that? Because the Gemara in Ketubot says that that woman going out with her hair ayotzei v'roshu perua is listed as overet al dat Yehudit in the Mishnah, and the Gemara says how can that be a dat Yehudit? Right, it's deoraisa. So we see that there's an antonymic relationship between dat Yehudit and deoraisa. I think our answer is that kolsa al rosha shapir dame, that if a woman goes out with some kind of quasi hair covering, whatever, right? Kalta Rasha Shapir Dami, and there's a whole question of the Chatzir. We construct a case where hair covering is only Durabanan, and the Pashup Shot is that's the Okimta of the Mishnah, right? And the Mishnah says Averd Al Dad is talking about a case of Kalta Al Rosha, but if you go out with Rosha Perula Gamre, That really is the right. Yes? Okay, the problem is that all the Rishonim and Ashkenaz quote the Mishnah per se. They quote the Mishnah with Overet al-Dat Yehudit is Yotzei for Rosh HaPerua, and they don't put in any qualifier. They don't put any qualifier that it has to be al Rosha. So Rabbi Broid argued in a famous piece that this meant that all the Rishonim and Ashkenaz paskin against the Gemara, and that going out Yotzei for Rosh HaPerua is only drabanan lagamre, because all the Rishonim and Ashkenaz quote the Mishnah without the qualifier. It's a very strong prima facie argument, and that was the basis for a thing. Now, as I mentioned, right when he wrote the article 25 years ago, only published 8 years ago. He wrote the article 25 years ago. When he wrote the article 25 years ago, I told him this is just wrong. We all told him this is just wrong. We shouldn't publish this, and he didn't publish it for a long time because I think Rabbi Willig actually suppressed his publication because he thought that it would damage him. So why is it wrong?
What was it that he was?
He argued that the Mishnah, the Gemara says that Yosef Rosh Hapura Overet al Dat Yehudit. The Gemara says, but that should be Deoraita, and the answer is no. It's right. No, it's called Al Rosha, and that's the Okimta. But all the Rishonim quoted as that Yehudit without the Okimta. So Pashtus, they hold that it's not there, right? That it's just not Deraisa at all. It really is Derabanan. They hold against that Gemara. It's a really good argument, but it's wrong. So here's why it's wrong. It's wrong because the Rush tells you in the Shoot that Moshe does the difference in that Moshe that Yehudit is not Deraisa Derabanan. The difference is that Moshe is something in which the woman is machshil her husband. And if you look at all the cases in the Mishnah, they're all cases where the wife causes the husband to sin, feeding him tray food. and that yudit are issues of tznius. They're not machshul lehazmin. So once you understand that, the Rush tells you that's what it means. So then, right? So then, what he understands the Gemara to mean when it's Zeraisa, so what does it have to do with it, right? That's not the difference in that's motion at all. What it means is that he says is that he thinks that Dat Yehudit is a bad term to use for something that is always De'oraita, so, right? But on the other hand, the Gemara says, but what are you supposed to, you can't call it Dat Moshe. You can't call it Dat Moshe because it's not Machshul husband. You can't call it Dat Yehudit because it's, right, because it's not, because it's De'oraita. What's the solution? Well, there is a case which is Drabanan. So you can call it Dat Yehudit. But it doesn't mean that there's no case which is De'oraita. It's just a different pshat in the Gemara. And once you see the Rush says that in the Tshuva, that's what it means, then Pashut, that's what all the Yerushalayim and Ashkenaz mean, because they're all just following the Rush.
There's also weird stuff going on in the Rambam.
Different issues. Lots of, right, you have to figure out where we got this distinction between a Basula and a Namba, right? All sorts of things happen historically. But that specific argument from the... That specific argument that Rabbi Broid makes from the Rishonim and Ashkenaz, I thought was wrong 25 years ago, and then he sent me the article before he published it again 8 years ago, and said, what do you think? And I said, I think what I thought 17 years ago was wrong then. It's wrong now. It's still wrong. Just legamri wrong. Nudu. Doesn't mean the psak is wrong. Because you can argue that it's deraisa and it's still socially dependent. Lots of ways you can get to the same psak. But that particular argument, Lani Ostati, I will get the propaganda out, I think is just wrong. But you can tell I'm just very stubborn. Okay, so she'ele emutra legarsha al karcha hecha de avral dat. We have to figure out what kind of dat Moshe, or dat Yehudit, and under what definition are you using of it? Does it mean only drabanans, or does it mean that only things that are private but not issues that would be machshul the husband, or even more strongly, things that would not create an isser for the husband, right? They don't create a genuine chashash of znus such that would create an iser to the husband. Okay, so we're going to skip the small print, and skip the, right, the next line. It says rak be'elus harachsad. So after he gets rid of the side issues, he says shechashash chayim ben gershom ein revetzalav. So the question he has is, under these circumstances, let's assume she was over al dat, but he can't. But she's not willing to accept the get. Do we have a chashash? Right? Do we have a chashash of Rabbeinu Gershom? So he says, "Aval ze avi rayos biksar." I'll bring some brief proofs. So he quotes Bitshuvas Harashba, Shahu Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderet. So the Rashba is Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderet, who is the Talmud of the Ramban and the Ra'ah that we all know, who is a Sfardi. So Besimin Tavkuf Nun Zayin. Katav lehedyesh Rabbeinu Gershom lo tiken b'makom shu mitzvah legarsha. Okay, so the Rashba held that Rabbeinu Gershom, this is an interesting makom mitzvah. It's not that you fulfill a mitzvah afterwards, but right, that there's a mitzvah you're being prevented from fulfilling by remaining married to woman A. It's that you have a mitzvah to divorce her. So if you have a mitzvah to divorce her, so how can she prevent you from fulfilling your mitzvah of divorcing her? So the Rashba held that in such circumstances, there's no, Rabbeinu Gershom never made the takana. However, says the Maram, achein misham ein raya berur lo nidon didan, right? But his proof is not a proof, is not a praise for our case. Ki l'sham nira shera'a bal habal dvarim shemarin shezinsa, because really, the mitzvah l'garsha there was not because of overt al dat, but because of really a chashash of znut.
Right, like the, there's in the cases like in Perek Hamadi or in Mishnah, these are all situations where if the husband divorces her, she would not get a ketubah.
Yes.
But generally speaking, these are not situations where there's a chiyuv to give her a divorce.
Right. So Averta Das Yudis, right, is a whole question of what the, right, the Baitul Ishita, what happened, right, if, right, what happens if you, right, if you choose to, if, right, if you're allowed,
okay,
like, to be kinder.
For example, let's say they're both in on it. Let's say, you know, let's eat some non-kosher food. Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's right. So
there's
that's
no chiyuv to give a get.
Well, that's not, that wouldn't be. She's not machshulim at all, then it's not averse to anything. The issues are violations of tzniut. That does, right. That,
in that case, she wouldn't lose her ketubah.
Yeah, right. Does it, right? Yeah. The violations are violations of tzniut that the husband doesn't object to, or for all we know, approves of. Right.
But even if he approves of it, it could create a situation where it's usur for the marriage to continue, and there's a mitzvah.
Only if there's a chashashnus.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So he's talking about things that don't rise to the level of... He thinks that we're talking here about things that don't rise to the level of znut, whereas the Rashba was talking about a case that did rise to the level of znut. He said if you look, read the case closely, it seems like she's pregnant. The husband thinks it's not his. Okay, that's a pretty serious chashashnus. Okay. So much for the Rashba. It says, Achein, min divrei haram b'mordechai perek hamadir. So the Ram here probably is Marami Rottenberg. Yesh raya berura. Shekasef sham lehedya. The Ohaveris Aldas, Mitzvah Lagarsha, Vera Ben Gershim, Aragolo, Tikain Bazet. Okay, that's pretty clear. Okay, right, that the Isser of being Megarsh Valkarcha doesn't apply in a case of a Vera Aldat. Vichain Al Hatakana Shatikin Rabbin Gershim Shul Lisa Bez Nashim, Kazav Ravan, Vamordechai Avi Perak Afalpi, Bedin Moredes, Vizelashana. Okay, so now why don't we just say bimigarish or balkarcha? Why do I need to introduce the question of bigamy? You already solved the problem. When would I need this, right? He says, anytime you have a woman who's a veret al dat, the Rashba said bimigarish or balkarcha. Mm-hmm. So why should there ever be a case of iguna de gavra? Yeah.
Let's say she is in another.
Yeah, because she's missing, right? Or more likely, she converted out. So you don't have access to her.
She's in the palace.
Right, you don't have access to her. So therefore, the only heter is going to be Lisa Beis Nashim. So right, so he says, "V'chein al takana shekira megin Rabbi Gershom shlo Lisa Beis Nashim kasav Ravan Lamordechai Yaviu Perak Alfa Vidim Reda Zelashana the Ravan kasav Afal Pish Halacha Kirabusai B'Doros Halalu." Sorry, Afal Pish Halacha Kirabusai. That's a parenthetical comment. And that's dealing with the, background here. There's an old debate about what to do with a woman who is formally moredit, which is to say that she refuses to have sexual relations with her husband. And presumably she wishes to be divorced, and the question is, do you allow her to compel the husband to divorce her in those circumstances or not? And there's a whole variety of really interesting things that would be a whole week on its own to try and figure out what really happened historically, what the halacha was in Vera. But at some point there seems to have been some mode which meant that you made her wait 12 months, you took away a 12th of her ketubah each month, and at the end of it she had no ketubah and you forced the husband to divorce her. Right, that seems to have been one, right? There's different geonik minhagim, and there are different understandings of what the geonik minhagim were, and the way Rabbi Riskin presents it, right, that was a great solution, and then the Rabbi Tam comes along and messes it up, and that's why we have the whole situation right now, because we don't allow a complaint of Ma'is Alai to generate a Kviya Lagarish. But for our purposes, all we need to know is that he says nowadays, even though the halacha is that what we usually do in the case of Moredit is we make her wait 12 months and at the end of 12 months we compel him to divorce her. B'doros halalu she'en adam nosim shtei nashim biyachad lo mashinan lo. Right, he says, but nowadays, the problem with that is, so it used to be you could make her wait 12 months, and that doesn't make the husband wait 12 months, because you could just marry somebody else. But no, right, so nowadays that we don't let the husband marry somebody else, so we're actually punishing the husband, not the woman. So that's bad, we don't want that. Okay, so now he says, so Bedoros Halalu. I said, just be careful, because I think it would be misreading to read that line across. Alpha Pi Shalachi Kerabosai Bedoros Halalu. It's Alpha Pi Shalachi Kerabosai. B'doros halalu, right, in our generation, she'en adam no seishtar she'biyachad lo mashinan la. V'im bishvil acheros she'yivastro. They say, why do we make the women wait 12 months? Because we're worried about uppity women. Right, if we tell women that they can just get divorced whenever they want by withholding sexual favors from their husbands, so then they're all going to get right? So then all these uppity women are going to go compel their husbands to divorce them. So we made them wait 12 months at least. So now what are we going to do? Right now we're going to get the divorce immediately. Right, that's bad. So we say no. What we do in such circumstances now, instead of making her wait 12 months and that whole thing, is kansinan la lahatir lo lisa isha acheret. So the Ravan says, no, we just let him marry another woman immediately. So we're matir the cheren debener gershom. Right, that's the new solution to a meredith. Okay? V'hi teshev v'tis agin. Okay, this is not one of the great moments in halachic humanism, right? The solution to merit is let him marry somebody else and let her be an aguna forever. No 12 months. Okay, here we are. This is a report from the 14th century. We're in the late 15th century, early 16th century. Then there's no transition. There's no transition here. All right, is it hot? Or are we actually losing people early? Is it back? Okay. Dan, are you with us?
Yes.
Good. Okay. It's okay. It's hot, and they're just
no.
Okay.
I can change
that. Maybe we should cool it down.
It's a mathematical fact.
The mathematical fact.
Okay, I learned it a couple degrees.
Okay.
Apologies.
It's okay. No, it's not your fault. It was wedding last night. Okay. So the Maram, so there's no transition here, and I don't know how to read this. There's a tshuva of the Maram that just follows. He says, which says as follows. Shasha'alta, Mimora, yeah, tshuva from the Maram that he finds in the Mordechai. Right? The Mordechai is the anthologist that lets us, right, that many people's access to Ashkenaz was through the Mordechai, which somehow got printed early. But the Mordechai, you all know, is just a wreck of a text. So that's the best you can do. So you found it.
Meaning Mordechai that we have isn't the same as what they had?
No, it's the same as what they had, and it's just a wreck. I mean, by the 16th century, where they're dealing with a printed Mordechai, they're not dealing with manuscripts, and the printed Mordechai is a mess. Now, over time, the printings may get worse and worse. I don't know.
It has a lot of stuff.
You
don't
mean the contact is
it.
Different? It's just like different, like the formatting is all.
Yes, the format is made up.
Yeah,
but
it's
yeah,
like this shita bleeds into the next shita. Like there's a lot of material in there.
Yeah, it's very hard.
It's not like great organized, and you have to like really think about who's saying what.
Jeff Spitzer gave me a present of the Mordechai and Kedushin is now out separately, and so somebody's tried to.
And then you read like Teshuvot Mordechai, and you're like, I didn't realize that shita said that.
Okay. So here we go. Isha Meredes, Ve'ina Rotze Lolios Eslo Velola Kabel Get. So a woman, who is rebellious, right, and does not wish either to be with her husband or to receive a get. So, right, Vesanile Mitzarele, that's a different version of the Tshuva that I just put the brackets in. V'hu Haya Beretzon Esla. Not at all clear to me what that means. But she's mean to him, and he, the Chor, is not so mean to her. Okay, in Kain Nirali, he says, so what should happen? The Yesh L'daber Al Liba, Achareish Eina Chafetz Aklalio, says Lo, She Timchol Ksubasa, V'yigarsha V'yisa Acheret. So you should talk her into forgiving her Ksuba and let him divorce her. V'im Eina Rotz L'imchol Ksubasa, but if she refused the Milchol Ksuba, he turn her L'isa Acheret. V'hi Teshe V'amanus Chayus Ashut Yisratza L'imchol Ksubasa, V'yigarshena Az. Okay, so he's allowed to keep her in Aguna forever for the sake of Ksuba. No, there's no sugar coating.
Why are we, if she doesn't want to get,
yeah,
then saying, oh, you can't get your ketubah isn't going to help her be convinced to get a get.
Except that at that point she's not being supported at all.
Yeah, so it's, This is a power she's being given, right? This is the consequence of Rabbi Gershom's takana. Right? Before if a woman lost her ketubah, so you're just begarish her bal karcha. But now she says, I won't accept the get unless you give me my ketubah. Now it could be she'd hold out for more, right? It could be that she'd say, I won't give you my get unless you give me $1 million. But let's assume that she's a reasonable woman. She just says, I don't want to lose my ketubah for being a meredith, And he says, well, tough. So the answer is that we side entirely with him. Once you're a Meridit, as far as we're concerned, you're done with you. And if you want to take advantage, of the Cheren b'Megarsh of b'Megarsh b'Alkarcha, we're not going to be matir the Cheren b'Megarsh b'Alkarcha. What we're going to do is being matir the Cheren about being Lisa Beis Nashes. Now, why should that be? Why don't we just let him be Megarsh or b'Alkarcha? So maybe it's just practically we can't reach her. Or maybe there's a hierarchy of Xerots. And we're more willing to allow people to be Megarish to marry two women than we are to being Megarish Balkarcha. Now that has big consequences. Yeah?
Oh, so I have a suggestion to support that.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So it's a teshuva by the Nodi Yehuda, the Megarish Balkarcha.
Yeah, we're gonna get there, don't worry, don't do it yet. We'll get there. So you're right, two centuries later.
Okay.
Right. So I don't want to confuse it.
Is that really on our list?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in there. We probably won't read it, but the issue that matters to us intellectually is that if you set up a hierarchy of Gzerot, so then the circumstance under which you're matir one cannot serve as a raya for being matir the other.
We aren't going to read him. Can I say like an idea from him?
No.
Not yet.
Isn't the issue here like Ksuba?
What is the issue? What do you mean the issue here, Ksuba?
If he's been Garish or Valkarfa, he's still a Ksuba.
She's a Verdal Dot. Right? She's a Meridit. She'll lose her Ktuba. Right? She'll lose her Ktuba eventually. But she won't take the get. Because she's right. Because she can withhold the divorce. So we're trying to talk her into taking the divorce without the ketubah. She's probably willing to take the right. She's probably willing to take the get if he agrees to support her for life. And pay her.
So
we could do the 12-month thing and say, you know what, right? You lose, right? You know, wait. You're going to lose your ketubah in 12 months anyway, right? But he's not willing to do that.
I was going
to
ask why don't we see the 12-month. Does it seem that Beit Din like lost the power to impose that knas, especially called a knas?
I think it doesn't work once there's a cheren ben gershom.
Okay.
I think that's the base right on the bottom. Once you can't be megarish or balkarcha, so then what does it do? So eventually she'll lose her support. Over 12 months she'll lose her support. So you're right, you can stop supporting in the interim, but you still don't get your get. That's what Rabbeinu Gershom does. We have to be frank about that. Rabbeinu Gershom makes it possible for wives to blackmail husbands. It was always possible for husbands to blackmail wives, but now it's possible for wives to blackmail husbands. And so one of the questions we have to figure out underlying this is, why does Rabbeinu Gershom create this mess? So in modernity, the solution we came up with is no-fault divorce. Nobody can hold anybody hostage, and all marriages exist only at the will of both parties. The alternative solution to solving the what seems to be an inequity in marriage is to make it impossible, is to give both sides the possibility to have that kind of power. And that seems to be what Rabbeinu Gershom did. As opposed to creating no-fault divorce, he created no divorce without mutual consent. Okay. So now here's his line. He said, right, this is the Barami Padova's line, and this right, which tries to prevent what we just said. He said, "Vavadai." Of course, he could have been megarish or balkarcha anyway. If we allow being matir to be bigamy, we would also be matir gerish and balkarcha. Actually, rutzel latez ksuba kasher nira mito chetshuva. So the only issue here is he doesn't want to pay the money, but really the two gzeres ben gershom are mutter in exactly the same way, for exactly the same grounds. Okay, what have we not seen at all mentioned here? Heter Merabanan. And nobody said, right? It's just a question of, is it right? Is this a case where the Xerah applied or not? If the Xerah doesn't apply, then who needs 100 rabbis? Where do 100 rabbis come from? Okay. Now he says, V'chein b'tshuvas harashba shur b'shimshum bin Avraham, b'simen reshpeh. Right, so now he claims he's not only in the Rashba. Now the Rashba is always suspect as your proof about Cheren ben Gershom because he doesn't really think it applies anyways. It's Vardi.
This is the Rashba Shan.
But this, he says, the Rashmi Shan, so he has another tshuva. And the Rashmi Shan has a case of right, of a somebody who, right, somebody who stayed with his wife for 10 years and she didn't give birth. Kasev gamhu shebena gershom lo tikein demaka mitzvah hein lisa acheret ima hein legarsha bal korcha. So the Rashi Mishnah just comes up with this winning thing that there's no difference. The only problem is that it's not the Rashi Mishnah. It really is Rosh Shlomo Adaret also, it seems. At least whoever put together what we call the Shudra Rashba includes this. So that's a really interesting question. What do we do? Right? What do we do? The Rami Padua has what he thinks is a killer proof. But it's a proof of the Rashba, and the Rashba and the Rosh Shlomo Adaret is just not such a big deal. It proves about Chayim Ben Gershom because he doesn't really think it applies. Okay. Then he quotes a fascinating Nimuki Yosef. We're still on the same page. But Nimuki Yosef. Nimuki Yosef said, "Dechem Nimuki Yosef perikabali v'im to etzel din zeh kasa v'zeh l'shono. V'im shas yud shanim lo nis abra, yotzi v'ten ktuba, o yis acheres kedamrin le'el." So if husband and wife live 10 years and she has never become pregnant, then he can divorce her, giving her a ktuba, or marry somebody else, kedamrin le'el. In other words, the Chayra Ben Gershom doesn't apply to a case of a husband who can't fulfill Pru Revu with the current wife. Now we have a fascinating line. V'yachol pi shehecherim Rabbeinu Shimshon Zal. B'yeshivat kama chachamim shlo yisa adam al ishto. So now we have a whole new thing. There's a Chayra Ben Shimshon against marrying two wives. Anybody here have been a Shimshon?
No.
Not this Rabbeinu Shimshon.
Pardon?
Not this Rabbeinu Shimshon.
I don't know which Rabbeinu Shimshon it is.
Well, Rabbeinu Shimshon, I'm getting clearer like this. I've never heard of
it. Yes, right. So that's a really interesting thing, right? Who is this Rabbeinu Shimshon?
Where's the name of Yosef from? Germany?
I don't think so. No, Yosef is Provence, isn't he? But he's like his last, or Spain? Right? He's the Talmud of the Run.
Okay.
Right? Isn't he?
Getting a strong Spain.
Talmud Ritva, Talmud, he quotes the Ritva all the place. He quotes the Ritva all over the place. Where he lives, I'm not sure, but he's in that
culture. From those circles, it's not like entirely surprising that like names would get.
It's not entirely surprising at all.
Or Rabbeinu Gershom made a Tachana, and successive generations of Ashkenazi Rabbanim, including the Rosh Mishans, made more Tachanot ones.
This is all fascinating history. All fascinating history, and the only issue for me is that I am not a historian. I am only interested in what the Rami Padua says, and he has a gzera of Rabbeinu Shimshon. So now maybe it doesn't matter, but we'll see as we go into the Tshuva that matters a great deal, because he's going to argue that the gzera of Rabbeinu Shimshon is not the same as the gzera of Rabbeinu Gershon.
Does anyone else mention this Rabbeinu Shimshon guy?
No, but the Rami Padua is the source for the Ramah. And so the whole history of halacha is influenced by this discovery of the Gzeira of the Gzeira of Rabbeinu Shimshon.
What about the
Nuki Yosef? Nuki Yosef is influential mostly because he's quoted by the Rami Padua that makes it into the Ramah. There is one that we probably won't see. The at some point the Maharsham believes he has discovered something in one of the Ashkenazi collections that no one else has seen previously, but I'm not going there because for our purposes there's some Machlokas Rishonim and we don't care how many Rishonim hold which.
Do we have this in Nukhi Yosef that he's quoting?
Sure, we have that in Nukhi Yosef.
Okay.
Sure, we have that in Nukhi Yosef. And in Arni Nukhi Yosef it says, if you look at the footnote 5, Rabbeinu Gershon. But that doesn't prove anything because, you know, it could, because any one of you, right, looking at this would say, ah, it's a typo and change it when you were copying, right? This is where you always, you know, right, the rule, right, for academics, right, lectio difficilior, that the more difficult reading is the correct reading, and Dr. Soloveitchik's quote from A.E. Hausman on this was that lectio difficilior is a very good rule, but to apply it, you have to have a head on your shoulders and not a pumpkin. Because obviously, right, all the worst typos become correct that way, right? It can't be, right? It can't be true, right? It's sometimes true. Be right? Very careful. Sometimes it's true, and sometimes it's not. That's really the.
I believe it is the Gersa. because it is absurd.
Right. That's what the lecture of Achille fundamentally is a Tertullian argument, right? That the more ridiculous the Gersa is, right, the more likely it is to be true.
So we have to invite Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik to the Islamic Midrash to
Well, you know, that's always very scary. It's part of why I'm nervous about doing intellectual history, because the standards from Dr. Soloveitchik's Shira that were instilled in me are so high, I know I can never meet them. So, you know, so just often talk, you know, that the semester I spent in Dr. Soloveitchik's Shira was far and away the greatest intellectual experience of my life, but also terrifying, because his standard, he told us, everybody told us that he prepared between 20 and 25 hours of his preparation for 1 hour of Shira. And that was already knowing everything by heart. So I said, the first Shira I ever gave, I tried to do that, and when I taught, the first Shira I ever gave was in BMT, and I taught the 8th Perek Sanhedrin, which was a nice short perek, and I picked it because I thought you could do that. So I sat down, and in order to prepare for that Shira, I read through the perek with every manuscript, and then I read through every Rishon on the perek Keseder, taking notes, and that's when I started preparing. And the end result was 20 to 25 hours of preparation. For every hour of Shira, but you don't, in real life, you don't get that. Christmas is a little, little bit of Gan Eden where I had that experience. And I thought that for that Shira, maybe I could approach the standard that he set. So, but usually I just sort of, I'm a total amateur in intellectual history. I do the best I can. And, other people will do it better. But here I just say that it says Rabbeinu Shimshon, as we read the Tshuva, we'll see that it seems to matter. But it's also, the language is interesting. B'yeshivas kama chachamim. What does that mean? How many? Yeah, how many? And what forces was? But he says, okay, but the Nimuke Yosef writes that that bechiha lo tikin Rabbeinu Zal, that this Rabbeinu Shimshon, when he made the Gzeresh lo yisa adam isha al ishto, he did not apply the case of somebody married to a woman who is presumptively infertile. So that's a really interesting question historically, how they're been, right? That's the Tshuvas HaRashba is really important as to how the Tshuvas HaRabbeinu Gershom seems to spread and how far it spreads. All right, not my issue. I'm sure there are many, many articles. I'm sure Professor Canafogel has good articles about this. There's already also results. Okay, good. But maybe there was no such person, Rabbeinu Shimshon. Right, that's right. That's right, right. We can set up the hypothetical Rabbeinu Shimshon, but most likely, right? Most likely, there is no such person. And the question is, does that matter to halacha? That this is a hypothetical thing. So we have to read the tshuva and see how much it matters. Okay. The chayin kasev Rabbeinu Tzorfa zal b'tshuvas harashba zal, which rashba? Okay. So we've already explained that in such cases he should marry another woman because since she caused this, interesting language, she caused it by being infertile. So Rabbeinu Shimshon never intended to create the Gzera where it's the wife's fault in some way. Then he has a fascinating line that I don't really understand. Maybe in the context of going on, I'll understand. He says, "Velo azlinan b'ha nami basar min haga." So what minhag is he talking about?
That seems like it seems like Rabbeinu Shimshon's
chera. Says, but also it's nami. He came to Gomer lo hecherim, and nami lo zin and baser minhaga. So there's so it seems like there's an additional minhag. So it could be one of these moredit minhagim. Right, could be, but I don't know for sure. So I would leave right, but I think it will show up in other times. So I want to put it here out here that there's a mystery line in this shiva that I don't really understand. Okay, all this is a quote from the Ritva. It says Ad kan ha Ritva zal. Amnam, he says. Nira de Mechaber Atzmo, it seems in the Muki Yosef himself, Shu Baal Hanimok, Cholik Alze, Shakasa Betchila Vezel Shono, Uloosam Shakiblu Cheir Rabbeinu Gershom, Shulosi Isha Cheres Al Ishto, Hashanami Enu Yachol, Das HaMechaber, Adkan, Vacharkach Mevi Haritvanel. So right, so he says that it seems to be that the Mukhe Yosef himself does not agree with this position of the Ritva, because the Mukhe Yosef says, look, Pcherim and Gershom still applies. I gave you the Mukhe Yosef, you can look at later and see whether you think that, right, whether you think his reading of the Mukhe Yosef is correct. I don't see any argument. Okay, but then he says, Imkei Nira Shecholek, but Amnam, Nira on the butler died to Eitzel Ritva, Uchuvas Rabbeinu Tzorfas, Uchuvas Harashba, Shehura B'Shemshon Ben Avram. So he pulls a numerical argument. But maybe not.
Because, first of all, the second Rashba doesn't exist.
Yes. And, yeah, so maybe it's a Ritva, right? So it's just, he's quoting his Rebbe and disagreeing. You know? It's a weak read to make a numerical argument within one author who himself says that he disagrees with it. Right, but you admitted that there were people against you, so I'm going to pass on like those people against you. It's not a very strong argument. Yes, Chaim?
So, the Maran Padua is assuming that the Gesef is being chelik on
the Ritva.
On the Ritva, because he talks about people who are Mekabel from Rabbi Gershon, which is not, as opposed to Rabbi Shemshon.
There we go. So, that's what we got. Next paragraph, Evshalom, right? This is why it's important. Evshalomer, Shadas HaMechaber, Hu Lechalek Ben Gzeres Rabbeinu Shimshon Ben Gzeres Rabbeinu Gershon. So maybe he can say this even according to the Mukhe Yosef, because the Mukhe Yosef said that that for the people who accept Rabbeinu Gershon, you can't marry another woman. But the other Rishonim said that you can overcome the Gzeres Rabbeinu Shimshon. So now we can say, aha, so we can say this is all the Cholodeos. The Efshel Omer, Shadas HaMechaber, V'lechalek B'gzeres Rabbeinu Shimshon, B'gzeres Rabbeinu Gershom, L'asher B'gzeres Rabbeinu Gershom, Nizkar Al Takanazu, She'en L'hatira Rak B'mei Anashi Mishlosha Kehilos Megimel Arasos. Rabbeinu Gershom's Takana has a special rule that the only way to be Matirit is to find 100 rabbis from three of the communities in Germany. V'gam osam lo yaskimu im lo yirutam mivur leheter. And he has another rule in there that the 100 rabbis shouldn't agree unless they see a clear tamivur. Haresha afilu ki yesh lam tamivur hutzroch gimel anashim megimel kihilas kanal. Okay, so there's this. Pcherem and Gershom has this very strong thing. You need two requirements: A, you need a great reason, and B, you need 100 rabbis to agree with that great reason. Okay, ulefize nuchal lomar she'af hamechaber hanal yode betakana shall get al karcha shelo gazar b'chum razu ve'ena cholak al divrei haram b'perek hamadir. So what does that mean? Okay, now I'm going to leave it to you. Right, so I'm sorry, I've talked too much. Now, right, figure out what this line means. Okay, and then figure out the next paragraph. Okay, committee of the whole is fine. This is fine.
Okay, so what did the Maran say? What did Mordechai and Perkamadi?
I think it's just putting in the for Moreno rather than.
No, I mean, were there two quotes from the Maharam?
I thought there was only one, but.
You know, the Maharam was the one who said, Dovert on that and spell
it. There's a Maharam from the Mordechai and Perkamadir.
Right, but that's the one he's
mentioning.
And then
there's a Maharam from the Chidushe Mordechai.
Right, but he's quoting. He specifically said the.
He said
specifically
Parkamadir
here.
Oh, okay. So it would be,
yeah.
I would count it as the first. Okay.
Yeah, so
which
seven,
is?
Which is that?
Shereza Shem Behedia, Jeder and Al Dat, Mitzvah Lagarsha,
Rabbi Nagarsha, Ma'or HaBala.
So we're going to low tikkun ezeh. So he's saying,
what is the prohibition on divorcing Baal Karchan, the ban on divorcing Baal Karchan, and it's only when there's not a mitzvah of Aksha.
And mitzvah, and in that's okay. So the Maharam is saying that in that case, you don't need a heter merabah to administer a get Baal Karchan.
Right.
I don't know if anyone's talking about heter merabah.
Well, now we know that.
So what's chumrez? So what's chumrez of it? We're talking about.
Yeah,
that's okay. Chumra zo, namely
the chumra of
the aforementioned chumra, right?
Okay. And apparently, marsh, often makaber, the eno cholachol divrei mortar. So he's saying, so he, the Maharam Yipadua, is saying maybe the Nimuke Yosef agrees with the Maharam Mirutenberg, quote in Perikamadir, that if a case of moredit, you could give a get Baal Korcha, because it's a mitzvah to do so. Moredit? No. Well, that's a case of a Verit al Dat.
Yeah, Verit al Dat, right?
In a case of a Verit al Dat, even the Nimuke Yosef would agree, you just give her a get. It's a mitzvah. Even if it's Baal
Korcha. Wait, but does she get... Oh, ketubah. You give her a get, she doesn't get ketubah.
Well, it's a Verit al Dat, she doesn't get
ketubah. Presumably not, because it's a Verit al Dat. Although, as like a side point, like if he knows that she's being over at all that, he's okay with it.
Right.
She doesn't lose her ketubah. It's specifically for when she's like tricking him.
Well, that's the dot Moshe side. Well, that you could she gets her ketubah anyway, so.
Is that true?
That's the Mishnah. Is it not? It's not ayins and ksubos, so my word.